Marley was dead, to begin with. The crowd stood silent. The players wore black armbands, and they renamed the West Stand. Scrooge was certain, as much as you can be certain about anything in football, that Marley was dead. Marley was never the most popular football chairman. His sound business sense never sat well with the supporters or the many managers that came and went. Scrooge offered a new broom, a burning ambition. Buoyed by unparalleled income from TV and sponsorship, Scrooge promised glory in England and Europe. The board were dazzled. The fans chanted his name, and Scrooge fulfilled his destiny and took his old friend's position as chairman of the club. But despite Scrooge's continual spending and the galaxy of stars that arrived, the closest the club came to glory was Millennium Stadium misery in the Carling Cup, and UEFA Cup humiliation in St. Petersburg. So it was, 7 years to the day after Marley's death, the eve of transfer window day, Scrooge was in his office, pondering his fish. With team manager Bob Cratchit, Scrooge was eager to open the coffers and expand his already bloated squad.
He's got a sweet left foot on him, Mr. Scrooge. Finest I've seen in a long while.
Since the last left winger we paid a fortune for, Mr. Cratchit.
Oh, that was just bad luck, Mr. Scrooge. We weren't know he was into making home movies.
His agent is a friend of yours, is he not, Mr. Cratchit?
A passing acquaintance at best, Mr. Scrooge.
Their frank exchange of views was interrupted by Scrooge's assistant, announcing the arrival of Fred, Scrooge's nephew and up-and-coming representative to some of England's finest footballing talent. He entered carrying a bulging portfolio of top-class players desperate to wear the shirt that hung so proudly on the office wall.
Happy New Year, Uncle Ebenezer. So sorry you couldn't make it for Christmas.
Christmas? Humbug. Let's talk business.
I have got an absolute diamond for you. 26 goals in the Jupiler League, 10 so far this season. 21 years old, born in the Congo, but with a Belgian passport, so no work permit issues. I can have him off the Learjet in 24 hours.
Excellent. What's the damage?
He's going for a song. 18 months left on his contract, but I've had a word with the chairman, and we could get him for as little as 8 million quid.
That sounds like a bargain. How much does he want?
He's not the sharpest tool in the box. He'd settle for just 50 grand a week.
Happy days, Fred. Happy days.
Yeah, we've already got 4 international strikers. I could really use a midfielder.
4 strikers? Only 1 goal between them, and one of them's been lame since he arrived.
No one could predict 2 metatarsal injuries. Tim's just been really unlucky.
I blame the boots, personally. There is nothing wrong with those boots. I brokered that deal myself. The boots are fine.
Fred, make the call. Mr. Cratchit, I want his name on the team sheet for our next game.
As you say, Mr. Scrooge. Cheers, Uncle. You will not regret this.
Set to their tasks, the two left Scrooge in his office, their seats soon occupied by another 2 gentlemen from the FA.
And what does the FA want this time, gentlemen? I'm a busy man.
Well, Mr. Scrooge, you will no doubt be aware of the condition of our wretched England team.
What of it? I know that Mr. Marley spoke often of his concern for the young English lads who suffer from appalling training conditions. Why, every day we hear stories of these poor children forced to practice their skills on full-sized outdoor pitches, many of them riddled with fecal matter and broken glass.
The miserable urchins have nowhere to train and no one to train them.
Nonsense. Why, only last year I opened our centre of excellence right here in this very city. I spent £25 million on the best facilities and coaches money can buy. Indeed, Mr. Scrooge, and a fine academy it is too. A fitting tribute to Marley's commitment to the beautiful game. Stuff Marley, this is my legacy. When I'm gone, it'll be renamed the Ebenezer Scrooge Soccer Academy. The finest youngsters from all over the globe are queuing up to join.
Quite so, Mr. Scrooge, and it is on that point that we've called. We were hoping to persuade you to allow some promising youngsters from some of your more disadvantaged localities into your academy, so that they can get the chance to play for their local team, and perhaps even for England.
I'll only let English kids in if they'll pay. I'm not a charity. But surely, Mr. Scrooge, you've offered scholarships in the past. Of course, for African kids with good strong backs and grateful families desperate to improve their lot in life. But fat-arsed English kids with pushy parents, more interested in image rights than teaching little Tommy how to kick a ball straight, they can bloody well pay.
But there's the rub, Mr. Scrooge. They can't.
They have the county FAs, have they not? They do, Mr. Scrooge, although I wish they were better organised. The Comprehensives and the Sunday Leagues are in full vigour, I assume?
Why, yes, Mr. Scrooge, but...
Well, there you are, then. Let the lower leagues take the lower classes. If they survive, I may come in for them later. In the meantime, gentlemen, as I said, I'm a busy man. I'm very well, Mr. Scrooge.
Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Scrooge.
The unpleasant encounter with the two gentlemen had darkened Scrooge's mood, and he resolved to retire to his city centre apartment. Shrugging off the good wishes for the season from his assistant, he left the stadium in his Bentley for the short cross-city journey. Upon entering his plush city pad, Scrooge made himself comfortable in a large leather recliner and switched on the Sky Sports News. Scrooge had not given a second thought to his long-dead predecessor. But there, in place of the face of the comely Georgie Thompson, was none other than Jacob Marley, staring blankly at him. Scrooge blinked, unsure what his eyes were telling him. And just as soon as it had appeared, it disappeared, reverting to the usual bad lobster in a dark cellar that was Sky Sports' flagship infotainment channel. Scrooge put it behind him, citing the pressures of his position, poured himself another glass of claret, and while the rest of the world celebrated the end of the old year, Scrooge sat alone, excitedly contemplating the frantic days ahead. Self-satisfied and slightly merry for the wine, Scrooge sunk into a slumber, to be woken suddenly by the chimes of Big Ben on his 46-inch flat-screen TV. He fumbled for the remote and set the TV to standby. Silence fell about the house, but was suddenly broken by the sound of a heavy clanking chain. At first, Scrooge took it as the sound of street revelers, but the unholy clanging was not from without, but from within. And it was approaching. Scrooge stared at where the noise was coming from. A rather ostentatious piece of modern art. He stared aghast as slowly the apparition of a man appeared before him. It was unmistakably Marley.
What devilment is this?
Marley just stared blankly back at him.
Marley, is that you?
It was me in life. Now I am nothing more than an image in a knockoff painting, sold by a charlatan and bought by a fool.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, of course I'm talking to you, Burke.
But what do you want with me?
Much.
Exactly how much?
Stop thinking about money for 5 minutes and just listen. I have come here tonight to warn you, to plead with you to change your ways, lest you become like me.
I'm nothing like you were. Anyway, times have changed.
Not in all things. These chains I carry are the weight of expectation from the thousands of fans who turned up week in, week out during my tenure and were never satisfied.
I'm going to change all that.
But you haven't, and you won't. Your chain was already this length when I died, and now it is much longer and growing.
All very interesting, I'm sure. But what's your point, old man?
Your soul is in peril, Scrooge. You are doomed to walk in purgatory as I do. I offer you a chance to change your path. This night you will be visited by three spirits, each to show you the error of your ways and of the undoubted results of your actions. Take heed, Scrooge, for you it is not too late.
And with that, Marley disappeared, leaving Scrooge wondering if that painting really was knocked off.
Well, what's that knocking noise? Oh, sorry, old fella, didn't mean to alarm you, just emptying out my pipe. That's better. Oh, by the way, I'm the ghost of Transfer Windows Past. No chance for Satsuma, I suppose. You, pundit, quit rattling them damn chains. You'll have the neighbours round complaining. These are managed apartments, you know. Hang on, where are we going? Back into the past, Ebenezer, to when football was a gentleman's game. Though admittedly played by a large ex-con called Arthur. Yes, Ebenezer, the 50s. Well, that's me. That's my father. That's the first game I ever went to, with a club I now own. I never saw my father. He ran a small shop which sold specialist art to gentlemen enthusiasts. At least, that's how he described it to me. Maybe it was a shop for fishermen. Or stamp collectors. Worked all hours God sent. But I only ever really spent time with him these few times he took me to football. You loved football then, didn't you? The surge of the crowd, the liniment hanging in the air like a pea super. Look, who's that handsome chap over there? Oh, Flappy Henderson. He was a marvellous player. No, behind him. Oh, Tom Chance. Wonderful stopper, Tom Chance. No, no, behind him, about to score. Oh, that's you, isn't it? That was your fifth own goal of the season, wasn't it? Club record. I'm not surprised it wasn't even September. Where are we going now? Oi, get your hands off my Satsumas. Sorry, they just looked irresistible. Oh, this is the game against Man U, isn't it? A great deal, that game. Look, old sport, it's none of my business. But most people remember this game as the one that turned the club around. Look around you! Hooligans in ill-advised hairstyles running at each other across the deserted terraces. A stadium that's seen better days, even in the third division, and a tired bunch of also-rans and ne'er-do-wells in the team. And yet, this was the game when you came back from 2-0 down at half-time, against the odds to win 3-2 and save yourselves with 5 minutes to go from relegation! Oh, did we? Oh, well, whatever. Point is, this is when I did a great deal flocking the Tom Chance Memorial Stand to Phil Faluca, who built up those top-notch executive homes. They're still there now. Well, the ones that haven't collapsed, obviously. You still don't remember the game? They repeat it on Match of the Day even now when they're talking about great comebacks. Phil Faluca's a hell of a negotiator. We're on our third round of prawn sandwiches before we agreed the price. You sold the stand named after your childhood hero and turned part of your beloved stadium into homes for yuppies. Doesn't that mean anything to you? Oh, yes. I should have asked for more for the land. It'd be worth a fortune now. Scrooge, once you lose your club, you lose your soul. Remember that. Lose my Satsumas, more like. Come back here, you thieving paps, looking sheepskin coat wearing all git.
Scrooge found himself upon the floor. Slowly, he reached out his hand and felt the softness of his Persian rug. Eyes open, he gazed upon his half-empty wine bottle and began to take issue with his senses.
Am I going mad?
Of course, and there is no finer state to be.
Scrooge looked up to find no image standing there, just where the Brill Cream Destroyer had been before him. A bald man with sparkling eyes and a grin that would have the Cheshire Cat nodding with approval.
You, sir, are known to me.
See? My face is known throughout all of Italia. I am the Duce.
Of Mediaset and Milan.
See?
We've met at last year's Champions League final. But wait a minute. How can you be a ghost? You're not even dead.
I am the ghost of transfer windows present. And I cannot be present if I'm not present.
You've lost me.
My dear boy, the Duce loses no one unless he wishes them to be lost. Now take my hand. Come, I am a busy man. There is a certain Ukrainian whose pants I wish to soil before the night is out. Oh, yes. Now, hold on tight. The TV is about to bend to my mighty will. Obey, my devils, obey!
Where are we?
Do you not recognize the home of your nephew?
Fred? I don't visit him that much. I'm not one for families.
A fatal mistake. For me, I keep Veronica and my tiny little Duchess close. They're his people, and Shadow. Except Shepard was bad, so I took a sink plunger to... Lord, forgive me. But you see what your neglect has done. Look at this place.
He must have spent a fortune.
He did. Your fortune.
Well, he lives better than I do.
Because you allow him. How much money did you give him today?
8 million.
Sterling, are you mad?
He said he needed it for a top player from the Congo.
The Congo? Not that boy from Belgium?
Yes.
You idiot! He couldn't slap a cow's ass with a banjo. He is worth 2 million.
2 million?
Euros!
Euros? But where's the rest of the money?
Let me ask you this. That elephant's head you see above the mantelpiece, how rare would you say it is?
Oh, extremely. Oh, why, just the other day I tried to...
Yes, you fool. I should throw you into my piranha pool for your idiocy.
Now there's no need for that.
Come, there is not much time.
Where are we going now?
Faces.
Faces?
Faces, you buffoon. It is a fashionable nightclub in swinging London. Do you like swinging?
No, why?
Just ask.
My God, what a racket!
I know. Fortunately, my ears are plugged with the wax of my enemies. Who do you see over there?
Well, that's Tim Turney, my star man. What's he doing on the dance floor? He's supposed to be in Bern, seeing a specialist about his metatarsal.
His metatarsal is beyond him. He is lame.
But I've just extended his contract.
And there, who do you see there?
Well, that's my nephew. With Cratchit.
Sipping fine champagne and drinking a toast to the idiocy of Ebenezer Scrooge.
I'll kill them.
You can't.
Why not?
Because you are not here, do you see?
I'm a fool.
Indeed. And I have seen many. I have vanquished many more. You must never allow your lackeys to cream more money than you. I must away. Remember, always treat a football club as you would a lady's bottom. You must know when to caress it with a mink glove, and when to spank it with a spatula. Which reminds me, Veronica, where is my frying pan? I wish to flip myself.
And in a flash, they were back in Scrooge's apartment. Scrooge watched dumbstruck as the Duce merged into his television. His image faded away to leave that of a giant clock. Big Ben in London was striking midnight. Outside, the city was celebrating. Scrooge could make out the drunken strains of Auld Lang Syne above the police sirens and car alarms. And for a moment, Scrooge could have sworn he heard the sound of a rusty old door or window open. A cloaked figure stood over the cowering Scrooge.
Are you the spirit of transfer windows yet to come?
The spirit said nothing. It simply wafted its cold, pale hand, and the pair were transported to a TV studio in Isleworth.
Bob Cratchit's watching the game from Underhill. How are your former club getting on against Barnet?
It's gone from bad to worse. 3-0 down, it's not even half-time. The faint hope they've got of avoiding another relegation is disappearing.
That 10-point deduction was always going to be a mountain to climb. Where's it all gone wrong for them?
Well, funnily enough, that's the title of my new book. Your viewers can read all about it next week when it's serialised in the Sun.
I've got to interrupt you there, Bob. We've got a goal at Gig Lane. Which way's it gone, John Gwynne?
But Scrooge was not to discover if Barry had scored or conceded, as the scene melted away to be replaced by the elegant surroundings of one of London's most fashionable restaurants.
I've got the exclusive rights on the biggest stars at the club. You've got first dibs on whoever you want at a knockdown price. They'll even pay 25% of the wage for the extent of their current contracts. You can't lose.
Fred, you're a hell of a businessman. Your uncle could have learned a thing or two from you.
If he'd pulled me in, maybe they wouldn't have ended up like they have. I'm just glad he's not alive to see it. God rest his soul.
Let's drink to the future, Fred.
To the future.
With the dawning realization of his sorry fate, Scrooge closed his eyes and softly wept. When he opened them again, he was outside, standing before a large billboard.
Coming soon. 75 luxury two-bedroom townhouses from 649999. Why are you showing me this?
The spirit raised its hand and pointed to the building behind the sign. Scrooge had enough time to read the Ebenezer Scrooge Memorial Football Academy before the letters were shattered to the ground by a swinging wrecking ball.
No, my academy, my legacy, ruined. Show me no more, spirit. I've learned my lesson. I'll change.
Scrooge tugged at the spirit's cloak, tears streaming down his fake tan cheeks. Even in his distraught state, he was surprised to find the material soft and plush. Wiping his tears, he saw that he was holding the handmade curtains of his bedroom. Out of the window, the weak light of the winter sunrise crept above the city rooftops. Dawn had arrived, and Scrooge was glad to be alive.
Saints be praised, I'm not dead, and I'm a changed man. From now on, things will be different. I'm going to drop ticket prices, let kids in for free, cut back on the bonuses, trim the squad, play only the local lads in the reserve team, monthly meetings with the supporters trust. By the time I'm finished, Steve Gibson will have nothing on me.
It's still to come, Sky Sports News. David Beckham has announced he'd be prepared to return to the Premier League should he receive an offer from the right club.
Hang on though. Fred, what day is it today?
Why, it's transfer window opening day.
Oh, I didn't miss it, could I? Have you still got Simon Fuller's telephone number?
Absolutely.
We'll start negotiations with £8 million a year, 10% profit share and full image rights. I'm going to make you earn that £3 million arrangement fee, Fred.
Thank you, Uncle Eb.
And so Ebenezer had learned nothing. And within 5 years, his club was losing to Hereford in the first round of the Cup. David had long since gone. Merry Christmas, everyone.